are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Folks, welcome to Joy. It's great to be indoors, isn't it? Oh my, what a wonderful celebration we're having today in the presence of the Lord. You know, any time that God is building things, it means that God is about to do something supernatural amongst his people. I mean, we see that when he built the ark, something supernatural happened with the ark, and righteousness was established. When he built the tower, when the Tower of Babel was built, now, he didn't want that to happen, did it? But nations were birthed despite it being built. And then any time that God is doing something, such as the tent of meeting was built as a place of worship, and then altars were built to commemorate what God was doing in the midst of his people, often when somebody had accomplished something or God had accomplished something so mighty in the deliverance of his people, an altar was built to commemorate that. And we see that God loves to build things and to prepare things for the glory of his name. We note that when Solomon was building the temple and he completed it, and he's gathering the people in 1 Kings chapter 8, we see that Solomon wants to, the first thing he wants to do is not pat himself on the back that he built this glorious thing. But what he wanted to do with the people was to honor God first. So what he had was the Ark of the Covenant brought from the tent of meeting and into the temple. And that just represented the glory of God's power, the glory of God's person, the glory of God's purpose for his people, and the glory of his presence. And that's what's happening here today at Joy. And I know we're going to have a big celebration in several weeks as things are finally completed. But guess what? This is a celebration. This is a day that God has made for us to recognize the power of his glory and the power of his presence. Amen? And I am so honored to be here today. And you know what I like? I can see everybody. I can see anybody sleeping now in a corner. I mean, it's awesome. So don't fall asleep. Stay awake there, Cameron, right? Stay with me, buddy. But I love it because there's everybody, you can see everybody. And what a blessing to be here today to honor the Lord for what has happened and to honor the presence and the glory of God that he would mark this place and this hour. You see, what Pastor Frank said is so true. Despite COVID-19, God allowed Joy Community Church to move forward. Despite what's going on in our city, we still had services outdoor in faith. Amen? And he, through his divine protection, kept us safe in the midst of chaos. We're in our nation is facing political upheaval, but God is still on the throne. And he is all powerful, and it has not shaken him one bit. And he's looking for a people in this hour to seek first the kingdom of God. Amen? That's what he's looking for. And to celebrate that he is the God of presence and power and purpose. Amen? So that's what we're here to do today. I personally just want to thank every individual who made this possible. And there are, and Pastor Frank listed a plethora of people. And beyond the people is their heart, the sacrifice, the commitment, and the excellence in which this has all been done. Amen? And it really does glorify the Lord. And it blesses this body today. For that, I'm so grateful. Amen? So thank you so much. Well, we have been in our series, Back to the Basics. And today I want to speak from Romans chapter 5. And I want to take you to Romans chapter 5. And I want to talk about the blessing of justification. The blessings that flow out of being justified by faith. Amen? Nice to see you. I missed you. Nice to have you here. Well, let's go to chapter 5 and look at verse 1 down to verse 11. Are you ready? I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you had grace when you received Christ. It took grace to save you. That grace has never left you. Amen? You have access to that grace right now. You can stand in it right now. Say, right now. That grace is available for me. Come on, that grace is available for me. Amen. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Ouch. Because we know that suffering produces what? Perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Aren't you happy about that? Because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, just at the right time, when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I love that verse. That gives me hope. That verse alone. Verse 9. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Talking about blessings flowing out of justification. When Billy Graham was driving through a small southern town, he was stopped by a policeman and charged with speeding. Yes, the Reverend Billy Graham. Graham admitted his guilt and was told by the officer that he would have to appear in court. He appeared in court and the judge asked him, "Guilty or not guilty?" When Graham pleaded guilty, the judge replied, "That will be $10. Well, that shows us how long ago that was. That will be $10. A dollar for every mile you went over the limit. I wish they did that today. Suddenly, the judge recognized that this was a famous minister. "Sir? Reverend, you violated the law," the judge said. "The fine must be paid, but I am going to pay it for you." He took a $10 bill from his own wallet, attached it to Graham's ticket, and then took Graham out and bought him a steak dinner. Oh, yes. That, Billy Graham said, is how God treats repentant sinners. That's the blessing of justification. Amen? Love that illustration. You see, Romans 5 is such a beautiful picture of how God treats us who are repentant sinners, or sinners who have not yet repented. Paul outlines the blessing of being justified and how we can stand courageously and confidently before our Heavenly Father. He is quick to remind us that our debt has already been paid and that our sins have been forgiven. Aren't you happy about that this morning? And if your sins aren't forgiven, they can be. Amen? Our justification is not simply just a guarantee to get to heaven, though you will get to heaven. That's a thrill, isn't it, to know you're getting to heaven. But really, the blessing is that there is a source of tremendous blessing that you and I can enjoy right here on this earth today. How many of you are in need of a blessing? I am. Amen? Well, you have that every day if you are justified by faith. Wow. When we are justified by faith, we are immediately declared righteous because we have put our faith, our belief, and our reliance in the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are you saying, Pastor James? I don't know. No, I do. Got you a little nervous, didn't I? I heard a deep sigh in the audience, because if he don't know, what's wrong? But what am I saying? I'm saying this. That when you review these 11 verses, you realize that when God declared us righteous in Jesus Christ, he gave us tremendous spiritual blessings that you and I are meant to enjoy every single day. Amen? Amen. How many times are we to enjoy these tremendous spiritual blessings?
Every day.
You know, have you ever heard the commercial from Leo's? Everything! Yeah, right? I love that commercial. Everything! Every day! I love that. Have you ever stopped, folks, to consider that you have those tremendous spiritual blessings every single day? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not when you just behave, because some of you wouldn't get them. Not when you're naughty, because some of you are naughty almost every day. I'm not going to point fingers. But it's not according to how hard you work, how good looking you are. The good works you might do has nothing to do about that. It has everything to do with that you are now justified by faith. You're declared not guilty and righteous. Amen? Amen. So I want to go over some of those spiritual blessings you have because you're justified in faith. The first one I see is found in verse 1, actually, and that is we have peace with God. Justification means that God declares you righteous, which is a declaration of his peace over your life. Right now, because you're justified, you have peace in Christ. He says that his peace will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen? So if you lack peace, you need to plug in to Jesus Christ. If you lack peace, you need to call out for peace in Jesus Christ. If you lack peace, you might need to get yourself away from the circumstances and the people that are causing you lack of peace. Do you hear what I'm saying? God is at peace with us because he is just. His justice has been satisfied, and he holds nothing against you. Some of us think he's holding old records of our wrongs. I'm telling you right now, nothing is held against you. Absolutely nothing, no matter what you've done. The slate is clean, folks, and there is peace. And when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended at the right hand of the Father, he tore the veil. The wall that separated you and I from Jesus Christ is torn, and we have access into a relationship with Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. Don't forget the Holy Spirit. He's a real person too. Christ's work on the cross has paid our debt and settled all claims against us. Isaiah 32, verse 17 reminds us about that. It says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effort of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. He wants us today to stand strong, to stand firm. He wants us to take our ground when all the whirlwind of activity, negativity, all the upheaval and all the uncertainty and all the things that trouble you, worry you, stress you, make you anxious, make you at odds perhaps. Maybe perhaps old behaviors and sin nature and pattern and addictions, they don't cause you to have peace. I'm saying take your stand, declare with confidence, declare with courage, I will walk in peace. Amen? He's inviting you to do that this morning because God declared you righteous in Jesus Christ, and he is giving you right now tremendous spiritual blessings. Another one that I see is found in verse 2. And verse 2 really encourages us. It says, through whom we have what? Gained access. Access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You see, grace is forever and ever and ever. There's always a supply of grace. Where sin abound, grace abound that much more, it says in verse 19, right? And so no matter what is happening around you, no matter how much sin is around you, grace will always abound that much greater than the sin that's being acted around us. That should give us peace. And we have access to God. That's one of the blessings. In Christ, believers have access to God, and they can draw on the inexhaustible riches of his grace. We stand in grace. We don't stand in the law. We stand in grace. We don't stand by things the law in the sense of commands and that. God is saying, wait a second, you're actually to follow even beyond that because of the grace that's been allotted to you. Justification has to do with our standing, but sanctification has to do with our state. And when you don't take your stand and you don't believe that you're justified in your faith, then when it comes to the sanctification process, which I'm going to talk about in the next point, then your state is uncertain. It's unsettled because you're not actually agreeing with the sanctification process that Christ is trying to bring you through. And it's really important that you understand why you're justified by faith and that you are justified by faith. And today you're declared righteous, holy, set apart, and pure in God's eyes. Not the scoundrel you once were. Access actually means this. It means entrance to the king through the favor of another. When you look at that word in the Greek, that's exactly what it, there's a picture, it paints a picture that you have access into the king by another. Isn't that amazing? Access to God takes care of your present situation. No matter where anybody might be, no matter where they might be in their life of sin, before they even knew Christ existed, he was loving them. Before they even knew Christ wanted to redeem them, Christ was already caring for them, loving them, planning for them, and they needed to respond. You and I needed to respond. Ephesians 3, chapter 12 says, verse 12, excuse me, 3, verse 12. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Many times we try to approach God like this filthy, dirty beggar boy who decided he wanted to visit the king. The boy walked from his little mud hut in the bush down into the city until he arrived at the king's palace. He knocked at the huge gate and tried to enter. Finally, an annoyed guard on duty came to him and said, "Hey kid, what do you want?" "Well, I want to see the king," the frightened youth replied. The guard laughed at him and sneered. "As you are, you want to see the king just as you are? there's no way for you to enter. You are filthy, wretched, and dirty, and you are not fit to see the king. This reaction forced the beggar boy outside the royal residence, where he sat down and he began to cry. Meanwhile, another boy inside the palace wall heard the distressed boy's cry, climbed on top of the wall, and cried out in a loud voice, "What is wrong?" The boy crying said, "I want to see the king." And the disheartened boy replied, "Then go around the front gate and I'll let you in," yelled the lad inside. So the boy quickly got up and ran the second time to the massive gate. The guard noticed him again and shouted, "I thought I told you to get out of here." And then the little boy from inside said, "Wait a second, it's all right with me. Open the gate at once." And the friendly lad inside intervened. And at the direction of the boy inside, the guard opened the gate for the filthy beggar, who quickly ran inside. And the boys walked hand in hand right past the guards, whose spears pulled back as the boys passed by. Finally, they approached this huge, magnificent door. They knocked on the door, it opened, and the king looked up and asked, "Son, what do you want?" "I brought my friend. Who wants to meet you?" the prince replied. And the only reason the filthy boy was allowed into the king's chamber was because of his relationship with the prince, a new relationship with the prince. He was unable to get through the gate without the prince's help. And then together with the prince, the beggar boy was accepted into the king's private room, and the king accepted the son's friend. Do you know that happens every single day? People are walking from darkness into the glorious light of Jesus Christ's salvation. And every day, that magnificent door that gives us free access into the throne room of God, it is widely open, and God is celebrating the salvation of another sinner who has turned his heart to their Heavenly Father. So glorious. Without the help of Christ, we can't be justified by faith. It took his sacrifice to make that happen for you and for me. What keeps you from having daily access to your Father? Is it your guilt? Is it your shame? Are you blaming somebody? Are you trying to reason away perhaps your behavior? Have you lost touch with the one who loves you? Do you feel that you really don't need him, so you don't go to him? God is saying, "Boy, there's no magnificent door that separates you and I. It's always open." God's grace has made it possible for us to stand before our Heavenly Father with confidence. When God declared you and I righteous before Christ, he gave us tremendous spiritual blessings that help us every single day have access to him. Why wouldn't we walk in those and receive those? Amen? The third blessing I see is found in verses 3 to 4. And it says here in verses 3 to 4, read it with me, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings." Ouch! Everyone say, ouch! Put up your hand if you love to suffer. Nobody here loves to suffer? Good. Okay. Most people don't, right? Nobody loves to suffer. But put up your hand if you have suffered. We have suffered. All of us have suffered. Okay. And it says here, "So rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope." We'll stop right there. And that's one of the beautiful benefits that you and I have every single day, and it's God's glorious hope. Glorious hope. Jack Hayford says this, "Hope is not a sense of optimistic outlook or wishful thinking without any foundation, but in the sense of confident expectation based on solid certainty." And that's what God's promises, God's words, are solid certainty. Amen? If you're not certain about a lot of things, you can be certain that you can believe and trust and hold on to the promises of God. Amen? There are our yes, and they are our amen. And then I'll add a hallelujah to that as well. You see, we will go through trials. We will have testings. We will be tempted, and there are tribulations. And there is not one believer who will not go through those things. No amount of suffering, though, can separate us from the love of God. Instead, trials bring us closer to the Lord and make us more like Jesus. You know, hope is never inferior to faith, but it's an extension of your faith. Always remember that even if your faith is being tried, tested, hope is in the midst of your faith at that moment. In the book, Free by Divine Decree, it says, when we rejoice in hope, God can bring us into a place of enlargement. I really love that. I love that thought that God wants to bring us into a place of enlargement. And that's what's happening here at Joy. We are in a new space of enlargement. I mean, look, does this not feel a little bit bigger? It does. It feels a lot bigger. But I'm not only talking that, I'm talking spiritually. He wants to enlarge us as individual people. In our city, God wants to enlarge our city, and he wants to establish that he is Jesus, Lord and Savior of Rochester, New York. Amen? He wants us to understand that despite COVID-19, he is going to enlarge our capacity to connect. He is going to enlarge our capacity to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. We have touched more people in the last 7 months through Joy Community Church than we were allowed to touch them here in this building. I'm telling you, people from other countries have been watching from different states, and people are getting right with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we serve a God who enlarges. He enlarges our capacity. And then he's speaking to the nation of the United States of America. I am going to enlarge what's going on in the spirit realm. You're going to become more discerning. You're going to become more acute. And you're going to be put together as an army. And you're going to change and transform this nation, not for the glory of man, but for the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My name is going to be declared. We saw that a week ago when on Washington, the Washington Square, over 50,000 people met together for prayer. God is enlarging the nation of the United States of America. Now, you have to follow the scriptures to understand that there's a process to enlargement. When God is bringing us into a season of enlargement in our own personal lives, in our family lives, in our work environments, in our communities, in our local churches, something has to happen. And it's connected to being justified by faith. And it flows out of the spiritual blessings of your justification. He takes you through it's called a process of enlargement. Where does it begin? Suffering. That's what it says here. Then it moves on, and it moves on to perseverance, endurance, patience. That's what he's talking about. Then it moves on from there, and it moves from perseverance to character, because he's hoping that as you've persevered through the time of suffering, that Jesus is a little more alive in you. There's something about you that represents, resembles, begins to communicate, act like, and behave like Jesus Christ through your suffering. Amen? But listen, from the beginning of your suffering to the end of your suffering, through your perseverance, through the building of your character, there's something you can actually that anchors you, and that is the hope of God Almighty. Amen? Let's thank him for that this morning, the hope of God Almighty. Samuel, can you come up here? I need your help. Come on up here. I want to give you an illustration of this process of, come up the stairs here so that you don't have to jump up here. So I love Slinkies. And I remember getting a Slinky when I was a little boy. And I was actually ticked that I got a Slinky because my brother got, you know, building blocks or something. And I'm like, what? I got a Slinky. And back then they tangled really terribly, remember? But one of the things I loved about my Slinky is that I got to, you know, I could make it go big, I could make it not, I could drop it, and it jump back up. Oh, jump back up. It was, you know, I really loved it. And, you know, I was thinking of this whole process of enlargement. And at the beginning, so this is suffering right here at the beginning of the Slinky. And it goes down, right? But, and hope is at the bottom, and you will always bounce back. Always bounce back. Hope allows you to do that. And one of the things that I was thinking, I want you to hold this and hold it carefully. Step back 6 feet because we were supposed to. There we go. Okay. And that, so here we are. I don't want to wreck this one because I wrecked the one in the first service. This is a brand new one. And this is somebody else's and it's not mine. The first one was Pastor Frank's. Oh, sorry, Pastor Frank. But if, take a step back to the edge. Stand up, I want you on the edge. There we go. Okay, don't fall off, okay? Especially the first Sunday. Okay, please, you'll get us all in trouble. Okay, so here we go. Here's the beginning. This is where your suffering goes. Starts right there. And through your suffering is perseverance. And in the midst, there's a tension in the middle. If I pull this even more, there's a tension right in the middle of this Slinky. And so through the suffering, perseverance is going through the Slinky, and in the middle, character is being built. That's the tension. And we, what most people do is not persevere. Because if it really, if we didn't have hope, it would gather all the way back and really, if you don't have Christ, there's no hope. And so suffering wipes people out. When all along, suffering was meant to bring them into the glory of God. Does it make sense? No, you can't have my Slinky. What's your response today? Oh my goodness, I've got so much to share. What's your response to suffering? Does glory in suffering mean you should praise God because we suffer or because of what suffering can produce in your life? Can you think of a time when you were going through hardship and you were able to glory in it? Think of that right now. When was a time you were personally suffering, but Christ came through in a big way and you represented him at the end of it? Isn't that glorious? Always so much to share. I just want to encourage you that when God declared his righteousness in Jesus Christ, he gave us tremendous spiritual blessings. And these spiritual blessings are immediately available to you today. Now, I don't have time to share the other. I had some other blessings, but I want to give them to you if you're writing something down. And the fourth blessing we see is found in verse 5 and 8. I just want to give it for those writing notes. God's love within you. That's one of the blessings. And then the last one is found in verses 9 to 11. And that blessing is reconciliation. It's huge. Huge is the gift of reconciliation. I am praying today that as believers, we will realize the access, the free access that you and I have been given to stand with courage and confidence in the grace of God that gives us access into his presence so that we have hope and love and we're reconciled unto our Savior. Amen? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, this opportunity to be here to celebrate the enlargement of joy today. But Lord, you're asking us to embrace this process of enlargement, this glory of your hope in our lives. And I lift up those who are suffering right now. That we don't want to ever take that lightly, because you don't. We ask, Lord God, that those who are suffering right now would be touched by your peace, would be touched by your grace, would be touched by your joy, would be touched by your love, and would be reconciled into your presence. We pray, Father, that those who have been determined to persevere would find new strength to continue. They would cast their worry, their anxiety, their stress, their defeat upon you. And Lord, we pray that in the most tender of ways, that you would transform our characters, that we would look, sound, act, and become more like Christ. And Lord, we never want to take it for granted, but we're so honored that hope causes us to bounce back again. And Lord, we pray that those who have not yet bounced back from whatever circumstance, situation, or disappointment, your word says that hope does not disappoint. Come, I pray, and minister hope to all gathered here today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.